If you need a Bible, there's some in the back in the black bookcase there. Feel free to grab one, and if you don't own one, feel free to keep it. So we are in Colossians, and we have been going at a rapid rate. The first week, we covered three verses, and then we got really ambitious and did four verses last week, and I thought, whoa, that's way too much, so we're back to three today. I know, it's coming at you quick, it's fast, I know, it's crazy stuff, but that's the great thing about this, is that there's so much in so little, you know, and sometimes we feel like we have to say a lot or put a lot of fluff into things to get meaning into it, you know, and it's like, no, you don't have to. Paul's writing here with very few words, obviously inspired by the Holy Spirit, has so much for it. Now, Paul had never met this church. He was going off of a report while he was in prison in Rome. And so we're at the tail of our study of Acts, where we spent all this time going through chronologically the book of Acts, the history of the church, seeing how Paul went out on his missionary journeys and started such churches. And then from there, it even grows. So this church here, Colossae, was built from one of his disciples or learners that went along and started this church. And then while he was there in prison, he gets a report. And isn't it great to have a report? And Paul says, man, I'm just so thankful for you guys, for what you're doing. And then he goes on to say some of the things that are foundational to the Christian life. And that's where we started with the first three verses, is the foundations of every believer. And we talked about those, that you should know the will of God, that you are growing from not just a saint, but into a faithful follower, right? Spiritual growth is in there. And then understanding that the most important thing in our faith is the grace that we get from God, and thus leads to the peace that we have with God. Foundational. You see, sometimes we overcomplicate this whole gospel and this whole relationship with God. We overcomplicated it, but it's really that simple, that God loved you so much that he sent his only son to pay for your sin so that you would be reconciled back to him. He did that through his grace and through his mercy, and upon receiving that, you being clothed with the righteousness of Jesus, you now have peace with God. And oftentimes we think about this word peace, right? That's a big word today. Peace, where's peace? We got, you know, conflicts all over. Isn't it interesting how we don't hear much about the Ukraine war right now, or the Israeli conflict, you know, or whatever? It's just so, you know, whatever they want you to focus on. But now we're like, oh my goodness, we don't even have peace in our border right now. And it's like, oh, we're going to go to, you know, possibly civil war and all this crazy stuff. You know, the news just wants to take you away and rob you of that peace. But you should know that God loves you so much that you have peace with him. And that's the most important thing. From that foundation, we started to set up pillars. And last week, we talked about the pillars going from verses 4 through 8. That faith, hope, and love is essential pillars. Now, with this foundation and with these pillars, and they should be every part of our lives, we now move into what I consider the key verse for chapter 1. And that is verse 10. And it says that we would walk worthy of the Lord because of this stuff. And we're going to get into that today and look at it. But we see with the next three verses, 9, 10, and 11, Paul is really calling the believer to prayer. So have you ever heard, don't be left behind? Now, often when we hear that, we think of, you know, the end times. We think of, you know, when God calls his church, Jesus calls his bride into the air, we call it the rapture, being caught up. Now, we're all about the rapture, but and when we hear these words, don't be left behind, we're thinking of that one event. But it's an ongoing process, as we'll see in verse 10, that our relationship with God is always on the move. We should always be growing, and we should be very cautious that we're not left behind in our walk with God. Now, I'm not talking about losing salvation, okay? I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about relationship. Okay, once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you were born into that kingdom. You are now in a different relationship with God. It's no longer I'm sinning against the Creator. I am now sinning against my Father. Very, very, very different. And so we're going to get this call to prayer, because as we've gone through these first eight verses, talking about that foundation, talking about these pillars, we might be thinking, well, how do we do it, right? And maybe even this week, as I've been encouraging you guys over and over and over again to find the will of God that He has for your life. It is the most important thing that you can do. Find out what God wants you to do and then fulfill that calling. And it's not about what somebody else is doing. It's not about the response that you're getting from that effort. It's, are you being faithful to what God has asked you to do? And figuring out what He's asked me to do is some of the hardest things that we come across. And most of the time we're just like, well, I don't know, so I just sit on the sidelines. Well, guess what? That's being left behind, right? Because God is on the move. And so how do we do this? How do we figure this out? How do I build the foundation? How do I stand those pillars up so that my house is strong? And Paul's going to say in 9, 10, 11 that it all revolves around prayer. It all revolves around prayer. So Paul's going to give us a call as the believer to prayer. So open up your Bibles to 1 Colossians. 1 Colossians. Hey, how about that? That's a new book. You know, Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with His, or the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthening with all might according to His glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy. And that's as far as we're going to get, because that's enough. That's so much in there. But notice what he says. Paul says, for this reason, that right there says, based on what we've covered previously, for this reason, what reason is that? The foundation, hearing how the church of Colossae was building upon that foundation, that they had the pillars reestablished, that they had, you know, searched out for the will for one another, or the will for that God had for them, that they were having, you know, brotherly love, because there's a difference loving someone in the church, in the faith, than somebody in the world. It's different. We talked about that last week. And also, you know, bearing that fruit. Paul was like, man, we are thankful for that. And we, for this reason, we do not cease to pray. Now, there is where we start off with. This call to prayer. Could you imagine living a life where you could say, I don't cease, I don't stop in prayer? That's crazy, isn't it? Because most of the time, we have to make prayer this official thing. Okay, we have to, you know, close our eyes. You know, for a long time, I would pray, and it would be like this. People would be like, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, I'll just try to keep my eyes open, because I'm just so naturally used to closing my eyes during prayer, right? Every eye closed, every head bowed. So we think that, oh, if I got to pray, I have to get into this posture. Otherwise, it doesn't count. And it's like, no. There's nowhere in the Bible that it says that. We see lots of examples of people praying, right? And some of them, they're like, help. That's a prayer. The person didn't fold their hands, close their eyes, get down on their knees and go, okay, I'm going to make this official. Help. Sometimes you don't have time for that, do you? It's like, man. Could you imagine, right? Some tragic accident happens, and you're standing up before God, and He's like, why didn't you pray? Well, I didn't have time. It happened so quick, you know, I couldn't get into the position. Or we have to say certain words. I've had people tell me, well, prayers don't count unless you begin it properly and then close it properly. Like they say, you know, pick up and dial the phone. You got to dial the right number. And if you don't say, well, do you pray to the Father? Do you pray to Jesus? Do you pray to the Holy Spirit? Guys, there's books written on this stuff. Books and books. And if you believe in the Trinity, right? I mean, are they the same God? But people get all worked up about, what Jesus says, you pray to the Father. Okay, well then pray to the Father. Okay, you know. Some people say, oh no, I pray to Jesus. You know, listen, I wouldn't get hung up in that, because what are you doing when you do that? You're making your prayer religious. Think about communication with your children. If your child came up and started to talk to you, do you say, wait, hold on a minute. We need to make this official. You will address me as Father, and then you will make your request, and then you will do this, and then you will close it properly. Do you do that with your earthly relationships? You see, that's the difference between what we believe in, that being a Christian is a relationship with God. It's not a religion. Religion is structured. It has works, right? And you have to do all these things to check all the boxes. And if you do, great. And if you don't, you're in trouble. No, you see, we believe that it's a relationship. That when we personally receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, it is done. So now, as I build relationships, earthly relationships, how do you do it? It's just through relationship, building things like talking to each other, spending time with one another, getting to know each other. That's what it's all about, right? And so when you pray, don't make it some kind of religious act. You don't have to. So this is how you pray without ceasing. As you're going throughout your day, right, you're just talking to God. You know, as you're driving into town, you're looking at those beautiful mountains that He created, you're like, man, look at those things. God, that's awesome. Right? Or you run into a little problem and you start to pray, hey, Lord, hey, man, can you help me out with this one? Right? It's spending time. It's spending time with God, and it's just talking with God. When that person cuts you off the road, instead of saying, you know, I wish I had a M50 on my car and I'd take this person. Lord, man, keep this person safe. Obviously, they're in a bigger hurry than me, right? Or whatever. So that's how you do it. That's how you pray without ceasing. You know, and a lot of people say, well, I never really see you get on your knees and spend official time. Who am I trying to please here? Am I putting on a show for man? Or I'm building relationship with my Father? So that's how Paul says, for this reason also, we pray for you. Since the day we heard about you, we don't cease to pray. Now, what is Paul praying for them? And by the way, that's something very important. You see, that is a call that all Christians have, to pray to God. And it's not, you know, if you decide to pray. It's like when you pray, right? And by the way, that's a great topic. Lord, teach us how to pray. Okay, so now we get the Our Father. You know, if you want to see Jesus' prayer, it's not the Our Father. It's when He was in the garden. That's how Jesus prayed. And by the way, Jesus spent a lot of time in prayer. He made it a priority because His relationship with God was the most important thing to Him. But now we want to create a religion, a pattern, something that we can copy. We see Jesus saying, hey, when you pray, pray Our Father who out in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You know, and what He was doing there was He wasn't giving us words, because later on He would say, don't be like the heathen that repeat prayers in vain repetition, right? You know, you can't just go, hey, I'm going to say 10 Our Fathers and 10 of the other ones, and I'm going to be good. That's religion. You know, up there, could you imagine God being like, all right, that's nine. Come on, eat one more, and I'm going to give you credit. Come on. Oh, you were so close. Missed it. Like, what's the difference between 9 and 10 or 3 or 4? I mean, you guys get the point? Doesn't it sound silly? And this is, by the way, very important to where this is all leading to, because remember what the problem was. One of the problems in Colossae was false teachers. And Paul is writing them, talking about increasing in knowledge and knowing the will that God has for your life for one very important reason: to be able to fend against the counterfeit. So when we're talking about prayer and we're talking about relationship, and then somebody says, hey, go and say 10 Our Fathers and all this, and you're like, why? That doesn't really line up with relationship. I mean, think about that. Let's go back to our earthly example. Let's go back to your children. Do you make your children repeat something back to you 10 times in order to make sure? You know, unless they're learning a spelling word or something like that. That's different. But you know what I'm talking about, right? Okay, I want you to say to me, I'm sorry for taking that ice cream 10 times. And you have to say these words and in this way. Do we do that? Is there relationship in that, guys? No. So why would we assume that God's any different? He's not. So don't get caught up in that. Well, let's not leave that topic hanging out there, because you might be wondering, well, why did Jesus say that? He was giving us a pattern. He was giving us a pattern, saying, you know what, that we give adoration to God, right? That we ask for forgiveness, we confess, that we ask for our needs. He was just giving us, hey, these are the things that you would talk to with God about. That's what he was doing with the Our Father. He wasn't saying, you say these words verbatim. He says, do it in this manner. He says, ask for these things and give adoration and do everything to the glory and the kingdom of God, right? And that's what he was saying. So hopefully you understand that. So he goes on and he's saying, okay, for this reason, we do not cease to pray for you. And then not only in the prayer, but he asks that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. Oh, he's hitting that again. So just in case you haven't picked up on how important it is over the past several weeks and months, you must know the will that God has for your life. It is the greatest thing that you can fulfill. And it's going to be different, right? Not everybody is called to be a teacher. Not everybody is called to do administrative things. Not everybody is called. We're all called to do different things. That's what makes up the body. And when everybody is doing their part, you have a complete, healthy, functioning body. When you have everybody that wants to be a right hand, becomes very difficult for the rest of the body to function. I just said, hey, we got a bunch of hands around here. Right? Well, what does it do? I don't know. It just kind of flops around there. Got a whole bunch of them. It's like, no, we need some left hands. And then we need some feet. And then we need some other parts, you know, some eyes and some ears and some mouths. And everybody likes to be the mouth, too. Figure it out. And it's been great, because over time, as we've been talking about this, you notice, even like with our worship team, people have been stepping out and going, hey, sign me up. Fulfilling that call. Someone's getting a call right now. Awesome. People are like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm like, yeah, don't worry about it. It's no big deal. It's no big deal. Because it's not about a religion, right? Thou shalt turn off your phone. I'm pretty sure it's in here. Let me read it. Pretty sure. But you got to figure out what your will is and then fulfill it. You want to hear those words, well done, my good and faithful servant, right? You might be saying, hey, I've been called to pray And I've been praying and I've been praying and I've been praying, and there's been no response. It doesn't matter. Are you being faithful to what he has called you to do? Most of the time, God has told us what to do. And most of the time, we know what he's telling us to do. But we want to negotiate with him. No, God, I can't do that. He's like, yeah, exactly. That's why I want you to do that. Because I want to be the power. Oh, we're going to get to that. I'm going to be the power that works through you. You see, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. A lot of times we want to associate the gift that we have with our natural abilities, and there's some to that. But oftentimes the person that says, hey, I can't talk in front of people, God says, I know, that's why you're going. Because I work through the ill-equipped. I work through the donkeys, okay? I work through the least of thee. Because here's what happens when you do the opposite. You know, I'm a naturally gifted speaker. What happens is I start to do it in my effort. And I start to say, man, look at how good I am. It's just so easy for me. It's easy for me because it's God doing it through me, not because of my ability. Right? And so you start to negotiate with God. God says, hey, I want you to do this. And you're like, no, that's not me. I know. That's what we're going to do. I'm going to work through you. Right? Because we need to, second point, be that living sacrifice. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to embarrass myself. Embarrass yourself, that's not picking up your cross for Jesus. Right? Embarrass yourselves. It's kind of hard. Have you ever been embarrassed to talk about God? Have you ever been embarrassed about it? Yeah. Like you go out to dinner, Red Robin. Sorry. And you're like, your burger comes, and you're like, all right, let's pray. Lord, thank you. Okay, good. Right? You're like a little embarrassed. Right? Have you ever been there? Or whatever reason, you know. And there's a reason why you're embarrassed, because the world is so against it, right? It's not natural. But it's like at some point we have to be like, hey, I'm living sacrifice for God. So Friday night, I'll tell you a quick little story here. Was checking out at the store, and the person didn't ring up one of the items in my cart. And I'm like, hey, you forgot that. He was shocked. He's like, wow, thank you for your honesty. Most people would have just buzzed out of here and got that for free. He was blown away. And he just wouldn't stop about it. And I said, well, you know, my God wouldn't let me get away with it. And then he's going off on, oh, yeah, well, whoever your God is, it could be this, it could be that, it could be blah, blah, blah. And it's like, no, it's Jesus Christ, right? And it was an interesting moment. And then he was kind of like looking around, and he's kind of like, yeah, you have to be a believer. I'm a believer, you know. But he kind of toned down a little bit. And it's just like, doesn't that happen to a lot of us? You know? I mean, I could have taken the glory. Yeah, I'm a pretty honest guy. I'm not honest. And neither are you. Right? You want to challenge me on that? I don't know about your taxes this year, but we'll see. The point is this. Okay, I'm not here to dog you about that. I'm being straight up with you. If I sat there and said, yeah, boy, I am pretty honest, aren't I? I called out that thing. Who am I glorying in? Me. Right? But I'm called to walk worthy. I'm called to walk and live worthy of Jesus. And so we have to do that. But you have to know His will. Now, I got off on a little tangent there. Let's get back here to where we are. So He says that you are filled with the knowledge of His will. Filled with the knowledge. Now, what is knowledge? Knowledge is just maybe, you know, having your brain filled with information. You know, and there's a lot of people, listen to me closely, there's a lot of people that know a lot about the Bible. They know a lot about it. But is there application in their lives? You see, I can know a lot of information, but unless I apply it to my life, that knowledge is really useless, is it not? It's like having a bookshelf filled with books. There's great potential there, not taking anything away from that. But it's until I pull that one book out of the shelf, flip to whatever page and go, oh, now I'm going to go do it, that knowledge contained within that book becomes power to me. The same is true in our lives. You see, I can stand up here and you can come to church and you can listen, but remember we talked about this last couple weeks ago. Did you hear? You see, listening is different than hearing. Receiving the word and then going, okay, yeah, I didn't like that. Maybe that stung a little bit. And instead you say, oh, I'll never go back to that church again. They picked on, picking on me. Right? And oh, can I go off on another tangent? Let's do it. Like you have a choice. I got the microphone. Did you ever wonder why people get so mad at you? Let me tell you something. People get mad at you because you are living proof that you can do it. When you pray publicly in front of people, or when you're living the life, or when you are saying, hey, you didn't ring up that item, it's showing that it can be done. And that calls people to accountability, and people don't like it. And they lash out at you. And now you're the bad guy. And even heroes, there's a thing with people, you know, they build up their hero, and then they want to see them fall. Why? Because it gives them justification. And so oftentimes, when you are applying and walking worthy of God and you receive this opposition, or when you hear it and you hear somebody say, hey, I found this out and I changed my life, and it makes you mad, could it be because I'm telling you it's possible? And you don't like that because now it's calling you to a certain level of accountability. And if it's possible for me, it's possible for you. And I don't like it. Most of the time, that's what happens. Either that or they've got so much sin in their life that they're trying to hide it and point out your flaws so that the focus is on you. Right? Beware of the speck, because in your eye, you got that big plank. All right, there's my tangent. So, understanding that there's a difference between knowledge, wisdom, and spiritual understanding. So, that's the difference, okay? So, wisdom is acquiring the knowledge and knowing how to apply it. Understanding is actually applying it. There's this thing in the Greek called gnoskos, and it means understanding through experiential knowledge, meaning that I can relate to something because I've experienced it. Okay? It's like me telling you, okay, so when I teach my self-defense, and we teach like an uppercut punch defense, right? It's this move. Okay? And I tell them, it's like you're screwing in a light bulb. Y'all screwed in light bulbs? Yeah. And the reason is because when we do that little extra twist, we get a little extra range of motion there for that defense, right? If I don't do it, I stop here. Look at that. Boom. So I teach that and I tell people, hey, it's like screwing a light bulb. They've got gnoskos experience with screwing a light bulb. And they're like, oh, like that. Yep, you got it. So understanding that I can walk through the fires of life, and by the way, This helps build our faith. Because God will say, hey, let's go through this exercise together. And then as you experience it, you now gain gnoskos. And so you can look at this and go, hey, I understand. Is there every case and circumstance that you're going to run into in your life in the Bible? The answer is no, right? No. We talked about cell phones a little while ago. There's no phones in the Bible. There was no temptation of the stuff that we're, you know, facing in today's culture in the Bible, but principally there was. It was still there. There's nothing new under the sun, right? It just puts on a different dress. And so we can gain experiential knowledge and we can read this and we go, okay, and then we can look into our lives and go, how does that relate? And then I start to get understanding. And that's what I would challenge you to do. Don't just say, well, that doesn't relate to me, you know. Well, how does it? Is there a same principle here that you can take and apply it to your life? And sometimes we do that. And we don't take the Bible out of context. In fact, when I do that, I will very clearly say, contextually, the Bible is saying this. The principle, we can apply it here because it will work the same. Okay? Now, we don't bow down and worship false gods today, do we? Little images, all these things, right? The word sincere means without wax. Be sincere, be without wax. What does that mean? Well, it means that when they bought the little idol, if the nose fell off, they would take a little bit of wax and paste it back on. And then you're cruising home in your chariot and there's hot sun and all of a sudden the nose is over here on the left cheek. Whoa, I bought something that was broken. Okay, it was with wax. So when they say, hey, sincerely, it means there's no hidden wax. You're not going to get home and find something hidden here. How can we apply that, right? How can we apply false idols? We don't bow down to those things. But what do we bow down to? What do, you know, a lot of our idols that we bow down and worship today are living idols. They're people. They're celebrities, which this gets my goat. So you guys, most of you guys know, I was a magician for 8 years, right? I was an entertainer. And when these actors and these singers, they get up and they act like they talk and they got all this stuff, I'm like, you're just the clown. That's all you are. You're the court gesture. Everybody's worshiping you. And you're really down here on the totem pole. Right? In the court, the gesture wasn't at the top. He was what everybody laughed at. Now, is there a place for that? Yeah, because, you know, we need entertainment and we need humor and things like that. I'm not going to say that that's not needed. But these guys act like they're gods. And I look at him and go, you're just a clown. Shut up. Oh, I'm not supposed to say that, church, sorry. Be quiet. But isn't it funny, right? Ah, gets my goat. But understanding, knowing is so important. Now, I know what you're going to ask. How do we do that? Well, remember, this is a call to prayer. So if I'm praying without ceasing, I'm going to learn what God's will is for my life. And then as I'm living and praying, I'm going to gain spiritual understanding. Why? Because I'm spending time with my Father. Spending time with my Father. All of this leads to that verse 10. Are you guys liking verse 10? I mean, I've been plugging it for like 3 weeks now. But all of this so that I may walk worthy. Look at the notes. Look at the words, guys. Look at it. It's not that I will. There's still potential to fail there, isn't there? That I may walk worthy. Now, that word walk means to live. Right? It's that I live. And again, there's movement involved. God is walking. To be a disciple, a disciplined one, the disciples would follow in the dust of the rabbi, which meant that they were so close to walking behind him that as he's kicking up dust with his, you know, feet, I was in it, right? If I got outside that dust, he was getting too far away. Are you walking in the dust of Jesus? Are you going? Or are you getting left behind? Listen, when your prayer life starts to lack, you're being left behind. When you get out of your reading, you're being left behind. I'm not talking salvation, okay? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about relationship. Relationship. We do all these things to prep for our day, for our week, for the year, for the month, whatever it may be, right? So, I love the prepper thing because everybody, when they hear that word prepper, they go to the instant extreme. Y'all are preppers. Every one of you guys are. How do I know that? Because when you go to the store, you buy a week's worth of groceries, maybe more. Every member of Costco and Sam's is a prepper. Because you don't come out of there with one roll of toilet paper. That's a whole other topic, but my point is this. Is you don't go anywhere without preparedness. Right? You don't get in your car and go, okay, do I have my whatever? Do I have my phone? Do I have my wallet? Do I have my purse? Do I have my coat? Is it going to rain today? Do I have the umbrella? Do I have whatever? Right? Are we doing that spiritually? Are we doing it spiritually? Hey, am I prepped for today? Have I hidden his word in my heart so that I may not sin against him? Is he always there with me in prayer? All of these things so that I would walk worthy. This word worthy means the same weight as. Okay? So if I have something that weighs 50 pounds, to be worthy, it is also 50 pounds. Now check it out. Walk worthy, to live the same weight as the Lord. Wow. The weight of your life, is it the same as Jesus's? That is a big one. That is heavy. When people look at me, do they see the same weight that Jesus had? Run your race. Your race. Don't worry about the other people. But are you, church, walking worthy? Because it gives indication here that that's how we please him. You see, coming to church today, we think, okay, I got a star from God. Got my check mark. Or spending my little prayer time in the morning or my Bible reading time in the morning, I got my check mark. I did my religion. That's not what pleases him. Pleasing him is to live a life that is the same weight as he. Now that puts a whole different slant on things, doesn't it? Whole new perspective. And when I am, I will be fruitful in every good work and increase in the knowledge of God. You see, that's why we love the verse, Philippians 3:10, that says to know him. That's the goal of our lives, is to know him. Every day I want to know him more. And by the way, it continues on and it says, through the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. That sums up the Christian life. That I know him and the fellowship with him through the good times and the bad, and I'm living that sacrificial life. That is walking worthy, carrying the same weight. Now, I'm not saying you need to be Jesus, because that's impossible. That leads us to our last verse this morning, verse 11. Because the only way I can do this is being strengthened with all might according to His glorious power and all His patience and His long-suffering and joy. Then verse 12, we'll talk about this next week, but it leads back to giving thanks. But you see, you can't try any harder, church. You just got to surrender and allow His strength to do it. That should take the weight. We put a lot of weight on your shoulder, right? Walk worthy of Him, pleasing Him, finding out the will of God for your life and then living that, praying without ceasing, right? Living that sacrificial life that is so heavy, and you're like, oh man, how can I do that? And then he goes on, he says, through the strength of God, you can do it. You see, prayer builds the Spirit. So we're called to pray without ceasing so that we know the will of God for our lives. And it's an ongoing thing, right? Does God's will for your life? He has an overlapping will for your life. That's what His ultimate calling is. But day to day, moment to moment, there's also little wills. Hey, I want you to do this, I want you to do this, I want you to do that. We only get that through prayer. And then we increase in our wisdom and our spiritual knowledge. How? Through prayer. And then we walk worthy, we're living with God. How can I talk to God if He's so far out ahead of me that He can't hear me? Hey, Lord! Right? He should be right there. Because I'm going to give you a little secret. May not be true for your life, but it's definitely true for my life. God speaks in that still, small voice. And in order for me to hear it, I need to be what? Close. Yeah. And then praying builds the strength. It builds my spirit. How many times have you guys been kind of down and out, something's been going wrong, you know, or you're just in a foul mood, and all of a sudden you start to pray, and all of a sudden your spirit is lifted? Yeah. Spending time with God. We all have that person we like to give an earful to, right? Sometimes they're just our sounding board. Sometimes it's the dog. Why don't you let it be God? Because when you do that, He builds it. Did you know He's so interested in every detail of your life? He is. Now, often we think He's got big business to take care of. Right? He doesn't need to be concerned about little old me. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that He loves you so much that He knows the number of hairs on your head. Some of that is changing momentarily. And God is keeping count. Right? As we go through the Old Testament and we're so caught up in all this, hey, don't eat that, and we're like, ah, oh, it's so monotonous. It just gives us understanding that He cares about every detail of our lives. He wants to hear those things. Did you know that He walked and talked with Adam every day in the garden? And that's what He sent His Son to die for, to restore that. He wants to walk and talk with you. So don't ever think, oh, this is too petty for God. God wants to hear it. He wants that relationship. So church, we have been called to pray. And it doesn't have to be official. And it doesn't have to be with our eyes closed and certain words and certain motions, certain positions. No. Just build that relationship with Him. This week, just spend time with God. Throughout your day, like he's your, you know, right there at your by your side, right there, stuck to you, everywhere you go. Some places you don't want to take God to. I know you shouldn't go there then. And just talk with Him. Hey, wow. Look at this. Look at that. What do you think of this? What do you think of that? Give it a try, and I bet you'll be blessed. Because he does love you so much that he sent his only begotten son to die for you. That's how much he cares. If you were the only person in this world, he would still send Jesus to die for you because he wants that relationship. And so as we close today, I want you, right where you are, because it doesn't have to be official, right? We don't have to have any stances or anything like that. I want you to spend time with your Father in prayer. And as we pray and close the service, and even as the worship team comes up and does the last song, you know, I know you're going to have that temptation to sing. Nothing wrong with that. But if you just want to pray, pray. And by the way, make that song a prayer to him. Right? Sometimes I'll change the words. You know, a lot of our worship is, we worship you. I change it. I say, I worship you. And make it a praise, right? Father God, we thank you for everything that you have given us. But more than anything, Lord, we thank you for Jesus. Because it's through him that veil was rent. And we can now come boldly into your presence in prayer. Lord, throughout most of the Old Testament until Jesus died, that was very difficult for people to do. And now after it's been torn in two, we take it for granted. But Lord, let us build a relationship with you. Oftentimes we worry about what other people are doing. Other Christians, other churches, other whatever. Let's just start with ourselves. Sometimes we get motivated by learning something on Sunday and we have this grand plan that we're going to change all these things in our lives. But you know what? It can start small. It can start simple. You can start with just talking to the Lord. Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the gas that got us here. Thank you for this place that you've given us. Thank you for the chairs that we're sitting in. The air that keeps us warm, sometimes a little too much. Thank you for this group of believers, Lord. Father, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe he died for my sins. I believe that he was placed in the tomb and on the third day he rose again. And he is my Savior. He is my King. Father, may I walk worthy this week. In your strength and to your glory and your glory alone. As we continue in prayer, Lord, as we bear our hearts to you, thanksgiving, supplication. Father, touch the church in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.